The Holy Gospel according to John, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you. For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, 'Not all of you are clean.'" After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This morning, as I was listening to the news, they were doing a series of interviews with people who were present at the Columbine shooting. And they had talked to the principal, they talked to some of the students who were in the building, they talked to parents of those who had lost children. And as you can imagine, the stories were amazing of what they've been doing all of these years and how they've been trying to cope with the events of that day, which is hard to believe now, 20 years ago. But the story that stuck with me was the story of a mom whose child had died in that shooting, who had the opportunity to meet the mom of one of the shooters. And when they met, you can imagine there was all kinds of questions that wanted to be asked, all kinds of things to be said. But this mother who had lost a child didn't ask any of those normal questions or the usual questions that were being asked. Instead, she said, "Who was your child before this happened?" And the mother of the one who died looked at her and said, "You know, no one's ever asked me that question. No one's ever wondered what life was like for me the day before this happened. Everybody's just convinced that I did something wrong somewhere along the line that led us to this place." Both moms had lost a child that day. And in that moment, both moms could share with one another a grace that many others could not. throughout John's Gospel. It is implied that Jesus knows what is happening or what is about to happen. In the Gospel for this evening, when it begins with this scene being set, that this is before the festival of the Passover, and Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and would go to the Father. In the course of the reading, it also says that he knew who would betray him. It also says that he knows where he's going, and he knows the disciples can't come along. I think it's important that this scene is set in this way, that we keep all of these things in mind, because tonight Jesus embarks on the most extreme act of humility that we have seen to this point in the Gospel. Jesus gets up from the table and prepares to wash the disciples' feet. Foot washing was the task of the slave in the house. And if there was no slave, then whomever was least. But instead, the eternal Word of God, God made flesh, kneels at the feet of his disciples. Now, Peter's exchange is a familiar one. We've heard it over and over again. But what I think is even more astounding, and what we're supposed to pick up on even more, is that Jesus washes the feet of the one who will betray him. He doesn't skip over Judas or excuse him before this humble act. Judas' feet are held and washed just like the feet of all the other disciples. In the verses that we didn't read tonight, in that middle gap, it is revealed who will betray Jesus. The Gospel says, after he, meaning Judas, received the piece of bread, Satan entered into him. And Jesus said to him, do quickly what you are going to do. Now, no one at the table knew why he said this to him. The disciples couldn't see what Jesus could see, and they couldn't know what Jesus already knew. One scholar writes, what makes the foot washing so powerful and what makes God's forgiveness so powerful is that God is so willing to hear our sin and forgive us, and God is so willing to hold our feet wash them. God is not afraid of our messiness. God is not afraid of our filth. God is willing to take our filth and make it clean. And it's not just here in the water that's used for washing feet, but it's also on the cross, as we will hear more tomorrow. Jesus hears our confession. Jesus cleans our filthy feet. And if that is not enough, Jesus dies taking that filth to the depths of hell. Now, coming to the table and receiving Christ's body and blood, hearing that this gift is given for you for the forgiveness of sin, is easier than allowing God to hold our feet and wash them. Even with our hands out to receive communion, we still have some control in the moment, but to let our feet be held and washed means to give up that control. Jesus washed the feet of Judas, who would betray him, Peter, who would deny him, and Jesus is not afraid to hold and wash your feet. Foot washing isn't only about humility, but it's also about hospitality. One scholar writes, to wash someone's feet was to recognize them as a welcome guest, to remove any barriers that might keep them from the table. These barriers are broken and destroyed by God. God becomes the servant so that we can begin to understand all that God will do for us. And we can begin to understand what God calls us to in the new commandment. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By By this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. On this night, we are called to radical humility. We are called to radical hospitality. And we are called to radical love for one another. We may betray this call. We may deny this call. We may struggle to love others, but we will not be excluded by Jesus. We will not be dismissed before it is our turn. Instead, the eternal Word of God, God made flesh, will kneel down and wash away the filth from our feet, the filth from our lives, over and over again.